Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And I hope wherever you're listening tonight, whether it's in Auckland on a Wednesday night, Christchurch Saturday night, Kapiti Coast, Wellington on Sunday, or any other night of the week around Ireland, I hope you're keeping well. And I hope that this next hour of music and news here will brighten up your spirits if you're listening in Ireland. I know things aren't great there. We'll run through all the news from Ireland. But I suppose it's a great day for everybody that doesn't like Trump, because he's gone now from the White House. And a man with strong Irish connections, Joe Biden, is taken over. And I'm sure it'll only improve the relations between the US and indeed the rest of the world. So I hope you can sit back and relax now for the next hour. And I'm going to start off tonight with a beautiful rendition of the N17, which was from an RTE countdown on New Year's Eve, including the concert orchestra with Tolu McKay. And it's a beautiful version here of N17. So hopefully, if this button works right, we should get moving now in a minute. And Tolu should be singing here, but there's an ad there. We'll get rid of the ad. Here we go.
I can still see the twist and turns on her own from the
Well, if you get a chance to watch that on YouTube, it's a beautiful rendition of the In 17, a song made famous by the Saw Doctors. And I have to say, even a tear coming down here listening to the lyrics when you turn off there in Clare Galway and head for Shannon, which is what I did back in 1987 when I left Ireland. But it's beautiful black Irish singer Tolu McKay, along with the RTE Concert Orchestra, and it was in a New Year's Eve countdown on RTE1. And if you Google In 17 Tolu McKay, you'll be able to see some beautiful video footage of people sending messages back to their families in Ireland while the song was on. Well, sadly, things haven't improved much since we were on air last week as regards COVID. There was hope that the schools in Ireland, primary schools, would be able to open up for the families of children with special needs. But the unions obviously backed the government into a corner, and it was decided this evening they'd have to abandon this initiative that was going to bring a lot of relief to the families. I heard a young man from Galway on the radio RT this morning, and he's got two autistic children, and they're up literally at 3 a.m, and him and his wife work, and he said it would just give them some relief, and he said they'd be in amongst their own. There was a, he thought it would be safe. There was about 15 special needs children in the school that his children attended, but alas, it's not going to happen. And I have to say that the news on COVID is very sad today. The biggest number of deaths in Ireland, 93 people died in the last 24 hours. Thankfully, the numbers have come down. But, you know, the death number 93 is huge. So the doctors today, when they reported this, 3 occurred in December, 89 have occurred in January, and there's still one death. It's the highest daily death toll since the outbreak of the pandemic, and the median age of those who died was 82 years of age, and the age range was between 41 and 49. And I seen a post on a Twitter there earlier this morning from an RTE broadcaster to say that he was at the funeral of one of his school friends today. So I presume that person would be in the 40 to 50 bracket. But pretty sad news. Of course, you know, the chief medical officer here, Tony Houlihan, said, while we are starting to see early results of our collective efforts to minimise the transmission of the virus, we are sadly reporting 93 deaths today. We cannot afford to drop our guard against the very high levels of infection that remain in the community. And the COVID-19 ICU and hospitalisation numbers are at a critical concern to us now, representing a very high significant pressure on our healthcare workers and the provision of acute medical and surgical non-COVID care. We need everybody to stay at home other than the essential workers. So pretty glum, and I know the weather isn't great over there, so hopefully things will improve. Anyway, we're going to continue on with some more music, and once we get rid of the ad here, we've got Mary Black coming up, and she's in a beautiful rendition of No Frontiers. Black there, joined by a number of other Irish female artists, and that recording was done during last year in aid of Women's Aid Ireland. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and wherever you're listening tonight, hope you can join the programme here in New Zealand or overseas on planetaudio.org.nz. Well, as I said at the start of the programme, there'll be great celebrations around the world today when the 46th President of the United States will be sworn into office, and RT News led with a news bulletin an hour ago saying he's the most Irish president since John F. Kennedy was inaugurated back in early 60s, and he's already picked four people with very strong Irish connections to be part of his cabinet. And he made a very emotional farewell tonight in his hometown of Delaware before he headed to Washington, and he quoted James Joyce in his final speech to his fellow Delawareans. And a great achievement for a man who's the great grandson of immigrants from Ballinagh in County Mayo. And I know that when travel resumes again, probably for St. Patrick's Day next year, there'll be great celebrations in the White House. But this year, it looks like Micheál Martin says it's highly unlikely that he'll be able to travel to take part in any celebrations at the White House this year due to the current crisis around COVID. So it'll be a very different world, I think, under Joe Biden. And I think having him there with strong Irish connections, he'll be doing his best to help promote the links between Ireland and America. And of course, we know that a number of big employers in Ireland have strong connections, big American companies who are there, obviously, for the great Irish workforce, but they also get great tax breaks. And this is something that other countries are questioning, but hopefully there won't be any issue with that happening. Right, we'll move on with another bit of music, and this time we'll go with Brendan Shine, where the three counties meet. Away you go, Brendan.
Over the lake as the waters are gray.
From Athlone there, Brendan Shine, where the three counties meet, Longford, Westmeath and Roscommon, and we'll dedicate that song to any of the listeners, any listeners from those three counties. I know we've got quite a few people from Roscommon listening, but hopefully we've got a few from Westmeath and Longford, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on a Wednesday night on Planet FM in Auckland, and Saturday down in Christchurch, and Sunday afternoon in Kapiti Coast, Sunday night in Wellington, and on planetaudio.org.nz on any night of the week around New Zealand and indeed around the globe, thanks to the Hugh Green Group. I see where Van Morrison is planning a legal challenge over live music band. Two women sue Conor McGregor in personal injuries cases. I see he's fighting again next week. And Irish man dies in avalanche at Swiss ski resort. And I looked at that first and I thought, well, what's he doing over there if there's a lockdown? But as it turns out, he's an Irish man that has been living in Switzerland. So obviously he didn't leave to go away on holidays, although there is quite a few people that are still travelling despite the government asking people not to travel. And as I said earlier on the programme, the government bans plan for a return for special education. There's talks that maybe the Leaving Cert should be scrapped again this year and do graded results like they did last year. But decisions are going to have to be made. It was one of the highlights and one of the successes of Ireland's lockdown that they were able to keep the schools open up until this latest lockdown here. But of course, things not in great shape at the moment, with over 2,000 people in hospital and nearly 300 people in ICU units at the moment. So obviously people very worried over the next week or 2 weeks with the increase in numbers, pretty much all from a fallout from probably people getting together over Christmas. I know they didn't break any rules, but unfortunately this was something the government probably were forced to do at the beginning of December, late November, to let businesses get back. And obviously some of them have had a very tough year. And obviously the retail sector, and especially the hospitality, and of course with people mixing and mingling, it has led Ireland to the situation that we're in at the moment. And the other big issue is the distribution of vaccines, and this is not moving as quickly as possible. And then there's a hullabaloo over a couple of hospitals who gave leftover vaccines rather than dump them to family members. So there's absolute uproar, as you can imagine, in some sectors in Ireland that this happened. And the Coombe, Master of the Coombe, apologised, but I know that it's Minister Donnelly is asking the HSE to investigate, because it's strictly people that are in the high-risk category, elderly people, number one, people in nursing homes and frontline staff, followed by everybody else. But to hear that young people got the vaccine recently, family members belong to the Master of the Coombe. It's quite an embarrassment, and I presume they'll still have to get the second vaccine when it's due in 3 weeks' time. Says here, Marion Faithful, she's nearly dying of COVID-19. My lungs are still not okay. I need oxygen. And RT investigated a programme on tonight. Tonight, like every other night, homeless people in hope of a bed will call a free phone number. Although I did read the government are spending a lot of money on housing homeless people in Ireland, especially in Dublin at the moment, because there's so many empty hotels. Okay, well, it was the fifth anniversary of, or maybe it was the fifth anniversary or third anniversary of the death of Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries last Friday. So in her memory, here she is with a lovely song, Wall Charge. The beautiful voice there, the late Dolores O'Riordan. Actually, 3 years last Friday, she died on the 15th of January 2018. And sadly, she would only be 50 this year if she survived. She was born on the 6th of September 1971 in Ballybrick in Caharelli in Limerick in Ireland. May she rest in peace. A great, great singer. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on a Wednesday night in Auckland, and our delayed broadcasts on Christchurch and Wellington and Capity Coast on Saturday and Sunday night. Just looking back through yesterday's Irish Independent, today's paper hasn't popped up yet, so I can get the download of the images onto my iPad here. And there's a picture of Trump and his wife. She does look nice in a beautiful coat. Last day for Donald, but what's next for Melania, on the front of the Irish Independent. And of course, as it's mentioned there, schools not reopening, so doubt cast on schools reopening after angry backlash from teachers. And on the sports section, I see what Stephen Kenny must do to save his job, because it looks like his assistants are all pulling out. Damien Duff has pulled out, and his goalkeeping coach pulled out last week as well. And we'll look at the back sections of the sports pages. Furlong gets Six Nations hope tied. Furlong may yet return in time for Ireland's upcoming Six Nations campaign, despite being ruled out of Saturday's crunch Pro 14 derby between Munster and Leinster. Of course, this game was due to take place New Year's Day, but it has been cancelled. History created as Waterford Ladies Football by Owen Sight. The Waterford Ladies Football Association is to break new ground with the development of an 11-acre site that they will be able to call their own, one of the first all-female GAA facilities of its kind. And an Irish Australian rules female player was badly injured at the weekend, but the news is good. She was obviously taken off with precautions after a spinal injury, but it looks like that she'll make a full recovery. I'm pretty sure she's from County Cork. I was listening to a report about it the other day. And it says here, what Stephen Kenny must keep his job and earn a new contract manager in a tricky spot with a mission trying to turn his dream post into longer-term reality. And, of course, he took over late last year. And obviously Ireland then in these first few weeks were knocked out of Euros, which are due to take place this year. And then they played another Nations Cup, which he didn't do too well. And then they have obviously World Cup qualifications coming up, which is a big, big issue. Of course, lots of publicity given to cross-channel football in Ireland, with Man United and Liverpool and Arsenal having strong connections with Ireland. But it looks like Leicester City has moved to the top tonight after a win over Chelsea. And not looking good for Celtic. Celtic furious. Lennon slams scandalous reaction after Celtic's Dubai break. Celtic manager Liam Lennon has complained of a barrage of absolute hypocrisy following the club's controversial trip to Dubai, and said the criticism has been scandalous. But he's under severe pressure at the moment, and Celtic, they're about 20 points behind arch rivals Rangers, and looks like they won't be going winning the title this year. Right, we'll take another song. We'll dig into the music section here of this iPad and bring up music app. And here we go in. We get into the wrong one there. And this time we'll go with Eleanor Shanley and Ronnie Drew with a lovely Irish song here, Shefa Mobuartha. Here we go. I'm not afraid to die. song called Che Fa Mo Buarta, and that was by Eleanor Shanley, accompanied there by Ronnie Drew, formerly of the Dubliners. Just to let you know, I see here the latest figures for New Zealand have just come out. 6 new cases of COVID-19 in managed isolation today included travellers from South Africa, United Kingdom, Zimbabwe and the USA. So I know what Ireland would give to have figures like that. They are talking in Ireland. Well, obviously everybody, I think, coming from South Africa and UK have to have proved to get a negative test before they arrive. But I did hear some of the medics calling for a situation the same as we have here in New Zealand and in Australia, making sure that people isolate in quarantine for 2 weeks. But it's just hard to do that in Ireland with the border between Northern Ireland and Ireland being part of the European Union. So it's a totally different kettle of fish between New Zealand and I know people are worried here that the strain could break through. I always run through the farming section of the Independent, and we'll have a look here and see what was in the farm trade. Farm section yesterday: March trade on fire as retail demand drives price surge. Monopoly money on offer as heavy bullocks price increase over 100 euro a head over the last month. Well, that's obviously good money for farmers that have heavy bullocks. Buoyant supermarket demand for beef is continuing to underpin the latest surge in prices, both the factory and the mart. So that's a good news. Drive-in mart. I see a picture here of Jerry McNamara from Athen Rice, sits in his Jeep with his laptop as he tracks the online trade at Headford Mart's Catlin Sheep Sale last Saturday. Bleak looking conditions there outside the old car, but certainly able to do his work. Key dairy staff will need COVID-19 vaccination ahead of peak milk processing season. The Irish Creamery Milk Pliers Association has come out and said, of course, getting ready now for calving at the end of January and lambing. And a nice picture here of a couple of sheep standing upright to the camera. These two sheep took time out from their feed at Michael O'Gorman's farm in Dunroe, Boris, County Carlow. Pose for a snap. It's very, very good indeed. Brexit cut off a third of Irish milk pool from vital European supports. It's another headline there. It's a witch hunt, says co-founder of Beef Plan after account queries. Beef Plan co-founder Eamon Corley has stated that he believes questions over the association's finances are a witch hunt. Of course, this was the organisation that set up in competition to the farm unions, demanding better prices for their beef, and obviously they blockaded factories and everything, mainly the year before last year, 2019. So obviously there's a bit of a query there. What else is happening here? Origin Green is built on evidence, insists Bord Bia. Bord Bia, CEO Tara McCarthy, says Origin Green standards will become more important food exporters in the coming years. The Taoiseach is going to need to intervene on exclusion of Irish beef from China. That's another headline there. Obviously, European Union may be in dispute with China. And there's what else is happening here. Landless new entrant making most of unreal opportunity. Dylan Donnelly cuts his teeth working with a neighbour who is winding down to retirement, and now he's renting his 160 acres from him and milking 84 cows. So it's a bit like, a share milking system. There's pictures of him feeding silage and everything. So it's good for him getting in and able to make an earning. What else? Reliance on feed imports may be lost opportunity for the tillage sector. Around 3.5 million tonnes of feed ingredients up to 60 countries are being shipped to Irish ports each year, leading to a fear that the sector's potential will be left blowing in the wind. And we'll just see what else is here. Bin with the new and out with the old, plastic expert Michael Egan. I'm pretty sure Michael is from Glenamaddy. Yeah, he is. I'm in with the new and out the old. He's an expert, has developed a meal bin that says it's easier to handle, safer, more durable than the traditional designs. So I'm pretty sure Michael might have worked at ROM Plastics. He did. Joe Nocton, who's from Kilcairn, and Michael. So that's, I'm just reading that story. I'll have to read the rest of that now when play the next piece of music, which is, I think, Philomena Begley. And she's singing all about a village in County Tyrone.
there's castles below in County Tyrone. Yes, I'm dreaming of Ireland and County Tyrone.
Yes, that's Philomena Begley there, and a village in County Tyrone. And if you're from County Tyrone or Mayo or Galway or Cork or Limerick or Tipperary, I hope you're enjoying the programme here, Ireland Calling, which is brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. I have to say, I'm reading through all the different papers and everything. It's just so hard to get away from COVID and all the stuff that's happening, not alone in Ireland, but around the world at the moment. But there's in yesterday's Irish Times, there was a picture here of a gull making off with the head of a fish from Howth Harbour. A fantastic shot taken by a photographer called Fran Veal. And rollout of vaccine comes under growing scrutiny, as I mentioned. It seems to be disproportionately a large number of vaccines go to Cork, Kerry and Waterford. Among those who got the vaccine in the south southwest were 10 construction workers. So obviously the government will want to, or the HSE will need to make sure that it's done properly. And a woman who had COVID-19 celebrates her 100th birthday. Eileen Nagel tested positive for COVID last year and turned 100 yesterday. And reaching the age of 100 is an achievement in itself. Doing so, having survived COVID, is an occasion for a double celebration. So Eileen turned 100. She's older than the state and was until the death of her husband in 2016. Half of one of the oldest couples in Ireland. She's in the Trinity Care and Overcare nursing home in Swords in Dublin. And it was packed with flowers yesterday. She did her Leaving Cert back in 1938. One of only 86 women to pass the examination that year. She trained as a nurse at the Richmond Hospital and worked as the first resident autistic unit in St. Paul's Hospital in Dublin. And she met her future husband, Edward Nangle, from Drumalee at a dance in County Leitrim when she was 18. And a few years later, upon his return from completing his nurse training at the United Kingdom, they met again and were married in 1952. So a lovely shot there. And speaking of nurses and institutions and everything, a dark chapter in Ireland was unveiled last Thursday when the the report into the mother and baby homes was released. And sadly, it's certainly glim reading. And obviously covered at in great length last week. So one story from the front of the Irish Times. This is last Thursday. State's record and lost voices and broken promises shredded in the Dáil. Yeah, I mentioned it last week. But obviously there's been lots and lots of stories in the papers following up about it last week. Of course, Taoiseach went into the Dáil on Thursday or Wednesday and he was going in on Thursday. He did an apology, but there's a brilliant speech from Catherine Connelly. She's an independent TD from the west of Ireland, and she spoke in the Dáil on Thursday after the report was published, and she spoke from the heart and got a lot of publicity as a result of her magnificent speech, talking about all the reports that have been published over the last 25 years, but asking what action has taken place, and certainly something that will need to be done. Some of these mother and baby homes where there's a lot of unmarked graves. I know in Tuam, Catherine Corliss wants the work to start on obviously removing the remains of these children, nearly 800 babies that were buried there and not given a proper burial. She wants that to obviously change in the near future, not wait for another year, another 5 or 10 years. Here we have Aslan, and this is a band called Aslan, and they were formed in Finglas in Dublin in 1982, and lead singer Christy Dingham. And of course, Christy was diagnosed with cancer about 10 years ago, and I see a story in the paper here that his cancer came back last year and his condition was worsening. So hopefully he's doing well at the moment, because we know Ireland lost. We played a dedication in memory of Dolores O'Riordan earlier, but obviously the former lead singer of Bagatelle died a few weeks ago as well. So sad that some of these great musicians are passing away so young. But you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And I hope wherever you're listening tonight, you're enjoying the programme. I'm just kind of flicking through some of the other pages of the papers here. And motor trade seeks route back from double whammy of 2020. Obviously not a great year for car sales in Ireland. I don't think it was too bad here in New Zealand. And what else is happening here? Just looking at some of the headlines. The problem is with all these papers, you can just read the headlines online, then you have to go in behind a paywall. But there's a bit of argy-bargy before Munster play Leinster at the weekend. I see here where the Van Graham, the Munster coach, he says at least they use some of our tactics against Ulster. This is Van Graham relating to tactics obviously put in place by Leinster when they played Ulster recently. And obviously the Australian Open tennis tournament, there's lots of players coming and officials from around the world. And obviously new COVID cases, so a lot of the players are locked up. Some of them aren't happy at the moment. And it says here, if there's a way to play the league and championship, we should. Derry boss Gallagher optimistic for the 2021 season. And certainly I know sport can bring some joy to people, even just watching it on TV. I know it's very hard. I watched a bit of the finish of the Australian Indian cricket series yesterday, cricket game, and it was a great finish. But imagine what it'd be like with a full crowd there watching it. And a man that I listened to, I didn't realise that he got COVID, but Shea Byrne, who's on RTE every morning, he has recovered from COVID. Rising Time presenter returned to the airwaves yesterday, having caught COVID at the end of 2020. As he resumed his presenting duties, he told listeners of his relief to be back working and thanked Louise Hegarty, Lillian Smith and Neil Doherty for filling in for him. He explained that he'd been off trying to get back to some sort of health. As you may or may not know, I was off because I had COVID, but I'm almost back to normality. I'm certainly well enough to go back to work. He's on early in the morning. It's called Rise in Time, a very good program. It starts at 5:30 in the morning in Ireland, 6:30 here. And it runs for an hour and a half before Morning Ireland starts on RTE, where you can get a good blast of all the daily news. Right, we're going to go here with another song. We've got time for probably two more before the end of the programme. So we'll go here with The Parting Glass from Celtic Woman and come back and...
Drink a health of every
Yes, the parting glass there from the that particular version came from Celtic Woman. And that's about it for another week. Hopefully you've enjoyed the programme tonight, whether you're listening in Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Cappity Coast, or any other part of the world. Hope you've enjoyed the music tonight, and let's hope that the news starts getting better, brighter coming from Ireland. I'll be back again with another edition of Ireland Calling next week. Thanks again to the Hugh Green Group, and thank you for tuning in. Good to see a number of new people tuned in over the last few weeks as a result of me bumping into people at a funeral of Frank McGeever, and I hope that people continue to tune in here each week. From me, good night, goodbye, and God bless. And I leave you with The Field Behind the Plough from Arcadia.
Every rock there is victory in every quarter for all causey down. Your hat brim further down, and watch the field behind the plough turn to straight.